Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show.
Let's get it started in here.
Parental guidance is suggested.
Listen to that crowd tonight. They're enthusiastic, just like every week. I have to tell them to quiet down during the show, though, because there's a lot of background noise, because they're all in my sleeper. I got 100 of them back there. They're stacked in there. No, I have not been down to the southern border lately. Anyway, my name is Jeremy Johnson. I'm your host. Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I'm here with one of our co-hosts, Mr. Lord Bikerson. Lord, how are you doing this fine evening?
You know what? I am the crazy train that has not gone off the rails. No disrespect to Ozzy, but still chugging along despite all the hurdles in front of me. How the hell are you?
Yeah, I'm just going through this thing called life, you know, day to day, and living a dream one nightmare at a time. And I don't know. I'm all right. I'm breathing. Thank God for that, I guess, right?
Living the nightmare, are you?
Man. Yeah, pretty much, man. Pretty much.
You fucking crazy, man. You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
Yeah. Yeah, we know that. We know that. That's why I advertised our show tonight as live, uncensored, and unhinged, because that's what I intend to do. Just go straight up to go unhinged.
Self-medicated,
you know,
for your protection.
Exactly. Yeah, if you haven't ever listened to this radio show before, and this is your first night listening, maybe, or maybe you listen to another night where it's calm, I suggest you grab some beer or a joint or something and self-medicate, because there's at any given point I can go off into a rant and it goes on for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. We're
unless
not quite
you're in
there
Ohio.
Yet.
Yeah. Don't be smoking that joint if you're in Ohio unless you got a proper medical card.
Well, yeah. Otherwise, if you are, just make sure that you don't get caught. You know. Yeah. That. Here's what we got up lined up for the show tonight. Daryl's MIA. I don't know where he went. He's driving tonight. He'll join us when he can join us. But we got some topics we're going to discuss tonight that are a little bit controversial, and that's okay. This week we're going to talk about the rumblings of Florida not being a safe state for minorities and LGBTQ+. DeSantis announces his presidency his run for presidency, and then. Why did 50 state senators accept emergency satellite phones? We're going to get into all that. I'm going to get into some crime statistics and all sorts of good stuff tonight. I'm trying not to be one-sided on an issue, but I am going to we're going to touch on some things tonight. And whether you like the statistics or not, they are actually FBI crime statistics. And it's going to show you something. It maybe wake you up to the brainwashing that you've been receiving from mainstream media and some of these special interest groups called the NAACP and these human rights activism groups, including BLM, who's $8 million in a hole and on the verge of bankruptcy. You're going to figure out some things that, shit, you've been manipulated and lied to. But before we get into all that good stuff, me and Chris were talking pre-show. And I did hear about this story the other day involving the trucking industry. And in the trucking industry, in the last few years, they call them nuclear verdicts. And when we say nuclear verdicts, they're for multi-million dollars and sometimes tens of million dollars. In this case, it's $100 million against Werner, W-E-R-N-E-R, Werner Trucking. There was an accident down in Texas, and where one of their drivers was involved in an accident where another motorist was killed. And I'm going to let Chris explain the situation, what the verdict was, and the appeal, what happened with the appeal. So, Chris, without further ado, why don't you go ahead and get into it, brother?
Well, you know, on the outset, this kind of seems like a BS verdict, okay? Basically, you had – this was out in Odessa, Texas. I believe it was in 2018. There was a winter storm that involved some icing. Black ice had formed. And what ended up happening was a passenger car that was not even on the same highway as the Werner truck lost control on the black ice, slid across the median and onto the highway that the Werner truck was on, slid into its path. The Werner truck hit it. I didn't refresh my memory on all the details. I do believe someone was killed. But the trial court, found in favor of the plaintiff against Werner Trucking and held them liable for the accident. The original verdict was $92 million. Werner appealed it. It went to appellate court. And now, because of interest accrued on the original court award, now it's up to $100 million. But there's some interesting things that got cited that really brings up a lot of topics to the a lot of interesting topics to the trucking industry. So some of the things that the appellate court cited as problematic for Werner was that there was a new driver involved. It was only his seventh day out of their CDL driving school. So they questioned the the decision to put such an inexperienced driver in wintry weather conditions, which, you know, brings up, I guess, you could probably debate, knowing that he was inexperienced, should they have sent him a shutdown order saying, hey, you don't have the experience to be out in this. You know, you are, I don't know how they would tier it, but hey, you've got less than 90 days or you've got less than 6 months. We want you to stop. Just full ground stop. They didn't do that. One of the other issues that they brought up as troubling was the fact that apparently, according to a police officer who was in the area that observed the accident, was that the Werner truck was passing other traffic that had slowed down because of the road conditions. It was determined through their investigation that some of the other traffic, including a tow truck, had slowed down to 15 miles per hour, 15 on that road. And the speed of the Werner truck at the conclusion of the investigation was determined to be 43 miles per hour, which is obviously entirely too fast on black ice. But the one component I found really interesting in the appellate court's decision was the fact that they cited a Werner policy prohibits drivers from having a CB radio in the truck. And Jeremy and I have both talked about this multiple times on the show and on social media about the importance of using the CB radio to communicate hazardous conditions to other drivers. The court actually said if this driver had a CB radio in the truck turned on that he was monitoring, that he could have been warned by other drivers of the hazardous black ice conditions ahead of him and would have perhaps prevented the accident and saved lives, which, again, is an argument that Jeremy and I have put forward a lot of times, that CB radio saved lives in hazardous conditions, not just winter weather, but other various circumstances that happen out on the road. But I know Jeremy's got another angle that he's got to that argument, and I'm going to let him run with that one. So go ahead, Jer.
Yeah, so I have 2 points to make involving the CB radio. Now, if they can make a judgment against the trucking company because they did not have a CB radio, does that mean now that you're going to require every single trucking company, every single truck out here on the road, be required to have a CB radio installed in your truck? Now, here's where it gets interesting. I recently was pulled over because I was sitting at a stoplight at a red light, and I pushed a button on my phone, and a highway patrol happened to be driving cross traffic, happened to see me reach over and push that button. He pulled me over about 2 or 3 miles out of town and wrote me a citation for distracted driving. Now, that surely happened. So if we are required to have CBs in our truck, what happens when you reach up to adjust the volume or grab your mic or adjust the squelch, any of that stuff on your CB radio? Are they now going to get you for distracted driving? So you got to look at it from all angles here. That's a very good possibility. I mean, right is right and wrong is wrong, right? You can't have one and not the other. It's hypocritical. But, I mean, anything going on with this government today, nothing surprises me anymore. Right is wrong and up is down and left is right. Everything's so messed up because of all of these special interest groups and activists that think they're saving lives when in actuality their annoying voices are causing people their lives. But here's the other aspect of this particular case that I want to bring up. So this Werner driver was traveling on an interstate in the opposite direction of this car that lost control. The car lost control. Not the truck driver, the car did. And the car lost control and went across the median into the path of the semi. The semi hits, strikes, and kills the occupant of this vehicle or occupants. I can't remember how many there were, if there was just one or if there was multiple people. And rest in peace for them. Seriously, I mean that. But here's the bottom line. It wasn't the truck driver that lost control of his rig. It was the automobile driver going the opposite direction that lost control of their vehicle that they were operating. How in the hell can you blame the trucking company for something that somebody else did? It blows my mind. Like, okay, if the Werner driver was driving too fast and he lost control and he jackknifed and he went across the median and struck a car and killed somebody, okay, you got him. You got him dead to rights. There's no argument. There's no case. There's no question. It's a guilty verdict. The fact that here's what baffles me and blows my mind. They found Werner negligent to begin with in a lower court. Okay, I get it. It's a lower court. They don't really look at all the ins and outs. But it goes to appeal, goes back to appellate court. And the appellate court has the same verdict. Why? Because trucking companies are required to carry at least $750,000 of personal liability insurance. Somebody's going to get a payday no matter what, even though that they weren't at fault. Because one thing I think Chris left out in the story, a law enforcement had said that the traffic had slowed down to 15 miles an hour because it was black ice situations. And after investigation, they concluded that he was actually going 43 miles an hour on black ice. Okay, so he's an inexperienced driver. I got it. You got it. Again, he didn't lose control of his vehicle. Another vehicle did that crossed the median and struck him while he struck them because they wiped out. Our justice system is backwards. That's pretty much an open and shut case if I look at it. And, like, they lost control. He did not. Okay, I've hit that point enough. But here's why I want to go with this. There was another similar accident that happened up in North Dakota on I-29. Again, it was a snowstorm, blizzard conditions, bad bad weather. There was a semi headed in the opposite direction of, again, the same situation. This lady had her three kids with her, going to the movies in a blizzard. She loses control, goes across the median. The truck strikes her, killing two of her three kids. The courts found that company guilty. They held them financially liable. During the investigation, that they found that two of her tires were not legal, bald. They won the case in North Dakota based off the fact that the semi driver should not have been out driving in those conditions because he's considered a professional driver. Let's think about that. A professional driver is not allowed to be out in those conditions, but a driver like this lady had to take her kids to a fucking movie when it's blizzarding out on bald tires in North Dakota. This is how backwards this whole system is, and nobody stands up for them. Nobody's coming to their aid. It's just lawyers collecting the money. Do I feel sorry for that lady? Lost two? Absolutely. I couldn't imagine losing two of my children. And I wouldn't go as far as blaming her either. I mean, even though she was at fault, but I get it. Having three kids, you're stuck up in a house, it's blizzarding, but you got to make smarter decisions. You don't take your kids to a movie when it's blizzarding out, because this is exactly what can happen. But how do you blame the trucking company for being out there in blizzard conditions trying to make deliveries so you got food on your table? I don't get – help me with this, Chris. Help me understand. I'm going to put Daryl's mic on, and he can mute his phone if he's crazy.
Yeah, you know what?
Daryl.
I was going to give him a
There's something squirrely around here.
I'm coming in on my bike.
Watch out, it's coming in hot, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we go from all serious to, like, you know what, fuck it, let's just have some fun. So, Daryl, you were listening to both of those cases, right?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on all of that? And then we'll go to Chris to help me make sense of it all.
Okay, here's part of my thought on this. Number one, look who we put in for president. Now we got all these knuckleheads, these liberal dipshits that think the person that causes the problem, they don't get any punishment. You know, the Warner driver. All right, you know, some people, they can drive at certain speeds on black ice. You know, wherever your experience is, that's your comfort level. But that has nothing to do with that idiot, well, with that person that came across the meter, lost control, got hit by the truck. Number one, sometimes it can start with bad policing, the bad police report, because right now you got a lot of experienced police officers that left because we have woke people who never even had a problem with the cops talking about defund the cops and do this and that. So now since you defunded the really good cops, go ahead and train these people, this is what you get. Now, I ain't saying that all police officers are bad because they're not, but there's some people that need to be trained in accidents. They need to learn how to do accidents properly, but then that also goes with our liberal judges that are in our courts. And then as for the lady who sat up there and took her kids out on bald tires in the middle of a damn winter, snowstorm, and then they're going to fault the drug driver for being at fault because he's a professional. Number one, I hate that label being put on us. I don't like that label being put on us. We don't get paid professional money. We don't get paid professional. We have a skill set that a lot of people cannot do. And I do feel sorry for the lady on one part. The other part, like you said, you need to make better decisions. And folks, This is just part of this. You've got to make better decisions, because if you don't, then this is what's going to happen. And right now, because they increased our limit that we have to have on the for insurance, now it's just like it seems like, well, you know what? Again, we're not going to go after the person that caused it. We're going to go after the person that had nothing to do with it. They wasn't their fault at all, and we're going to go after them because it's a lot easier. And I think a lot of these trucking lawyers, I think they just need to put up a fight and say, you know what? We're not taking this anymore. We're going to go ahead and sue the crap out of you so you lose, because we're going to fight this. The problem is we also have too many corporations that sit back and they bow down to this mess. And then this is the repercussion of what happens. It all started way back in the day when that lady sued for McDonald's for the hot coffee. When it says hot coffee, everybody with your right mind know when you get hot coffee in a cup, it's hot coffee. And she spilled it on her, and the judge said, oh, well, you're not at fault. McDonald's is. Then all of a sudden, the stupid shit has happened, and here it is. And people, don't think it cannot happen to you. Sooner or later, it will. I sit up here, and I own my truck, and that's one of the things I fear is I get some person who made a bad decision and hit my truck, which I wasn't at fault. I'm going to have to pay for it, which they ain't going to hardly get nothing anyway, because I'm not rich. I'm poor. So I think it's bullshit.
That's
how
a lie.
That's a lie.
I heard through the grapevine that you own a pristine 1979 Ford Pinto, so you got money.
You mean one of those portable gas pumps? Yeah, I got some racer slicks on it, and it's painted like Bumblebee, yellow and black stripes. And I go out the window with a megaphone.
You know what, Daryl? You're not allowed in Florida.
we got to talk about that one. Oh, see, now you.
Before we get to that, though, let me just ask Chris one more time if he wanted to add anything to what we were just talking about, those two truck accidents with the nuclear verdicts, because I think the one up in North Dakota, she got multi-million dollars. It was, I think, $7 million. The Werner one was $100 million. So, I mean, give me a break. I mean, that'll put somebody out of business real quick. But, Chris, do you want to one final thought on that topic before we move on to the next one?
All right. I'm going to make this as quick as possible. Number one, Werner supports the ATA. The ATA supports legislation that allows them to put cheap, inexperienced drivers behind the wheel. They got what they lobbied for, so I don't feel sorry for Werner. Number two, as a professional driver, I have to say, I see trucks driving way too damn fast in wintry conditions all the time. As a professional driver, we do have the obligation, because we are professional. We do have that experience and that knowledge. We have to slow down, not just to a speed that we can handle. We have to slow down to a speed in bad road conditions that we can stop quickly enough to avert incidents or other obstructions that appear in front of us. So I do agree with that. I also agree with the notion that, yeah, we do need to have those CB radios in the trucks, and it's about damn time somebody acknowledged that. We do have a warning system, or we did have a warning system, where we do alert each other to hazardous conditions. All the drivers used to have them in their trucks, and then everybody got away from it and said, oh, you know what? I got GPS. I don't need a CB radio. And, yeah, not true. I can't even tell you how many times I've seen trucks go charging into blizzard, black ice conditions while me and other drivers were trying to warn them on the radio, hey, there is black ice over that next hill. They don't have a radio on, and they just keep on charging into it and have to find out for themselves, and who knows who pays the price for that with their life. So that's all I have to say about that particular thing. The McDonald's verdict, I'm just going to hit on it real quick since Daryl brought it up. There was actually a lot more to that. Here's the short version. McDonald's knew their coffee sucked. McDonald's also knew, based on research, that by heating their coffee to a temperature that exceeded the FDA guidelines for safe temperatures, that they could essentially burn the taste buds of their customers to the point that they could not realize that their coffee sucked, okay? So they deliberately, and these emails came about in that court case, they deliberately took the temperature of their coffee well above established safe temperatures in order to kill the taste buds so that people wouldn't realize how much their product sucked, right? What happened was when the woman got burned with the coffee, because it was at such a high temperature, she actually did irreversible damage. It wasn't just like she spilled some coffee and got burned a little bit. She actually suffered irreversible damage to without that. You know what? I'm just going to say it. She suffered irreversible damage to her
vajayjay.
Her vajayjay. She irreversible damage to her vajayjay because it was heated to a point well beyond established safe temperatures, well beyond established temperatures that you would normally drink coffee at. So that's what actually happened to that. You know, there's your Paul Harvey. That's the rest of the story. But
so
okay,
am I able to sue Daryl then for hurting my vajayjay when he insulted me?
Oh Lord,
you have a vajayjay.
You won't get any money.
Don't we all? I mean, today none of us are really men. We're kind of women, and women are men.
Oh,
and dogs are cats, and cows are pigs. I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on anymore. Jesus H. Hey, by the way, speaking of that McDonald's case, and I don't want to get too much into that, but I mean, we'll get into it a little bit. Recently, McDonald's lost another lawsuit. Did you guys know this? A family sued McDonald's for their child being burned by a chicken nugget, and this is no shit. So do they know that their chicken nuggets suck bad too, and they're overheating those with grease? I don't know, but this was a case that was just. They just won. Within the last couple of weeks, I just read that the other day. Kind of funny you brought all that up at one time, but yeah. Speaking of chicken nuggets, if you're a chicken nugget, be careful. Do not go to Florida right now. Right now in Florida, the nation's largest LGBTQ advocacy group joined in on others in Florida, issuing a Florida travel advisory, ladies and gentlemen. Multiple other civil rights groups are issuing a Florida travel advisory. This was this last Tuesday, warning that the new state laws and policies are hostile toward the LGBTQ community, minorities, and immigrants. And I'm going to read a little bit of this article from USA Today. The Human Rights Campaign, along with Equality Florida, which had already issued an advisory last month, posted an updated for the LGBT community, citing Governor Ron DeSantis' policies in a news release. The two organizations warned that LGBTQ people of the risks associated with relocation or travel to the Sunshine State because of six bills passed this legislative session. Now, before I get too much further into this, I want you guys all to know something. This show is a very good friend with one of the top 25 gay influencers in the United States, by the name of conservative aunt. He actually lives in Florida, and you should hear his rants. You can find him on Twitter and TikTok as conservative aunt. You'll like the guy. He's very animated, and he says it how it is. So let me continue with this. While the advisory is not a blanket recommendation against travel nor a call for a boycott, it does outline the devastating impacts of multiple laws that are hostile toward the LGBTQ community, minorities, and immigrants, the news release reads. The Human Rights Campaign said the advisory is to help individuals and their families make decisions as potential travelers or residents. Now, here's who's issuing these advisories and relocation warnings. The NAACP, the League of United Latin American Citizens, and the Florida Immigrant Coalition, along with the LGBTQ community. let me just tell you something about this. Governor DeSantis, Ron DeSantis, who just announced his presidency, his run for presidency for 2024, has issued some laws against a lot of things that are happening that a lot of us find offensive and wrong. If I could find the actual laws here, because it's important to understand what's really going on here. This has nothing to do about people being discriminated against if you're black or if you're white or Hispanic or transgender. No, this is about doing what's right for our children. And Ron DeSantis has passed laws, they ban state funding for diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. That's not really it. They're banning what's that the Black History, not the Black History, critical race theory. If you understand critical race theory, that was meant as a college course, not to teach 5-year-olds to feel guilty about being the color that you are. And it expanded the state's ability to restrict or ban books, because some of the books in there, there's a pastor that got up and was reading it to a school board, and they were talking about the clear liquid that comes off the tip of a penis when it's ready to ejaculate. And the school board said, "Pastor, pastor, pastor." They interrupted him numerous times. And he stopped. He goes, what? Is it something that I said? And he looked at the school board, and they got quiet. He goes, "Exactly. If you're offended by what I'm saying up here at this podium, why in the hell are we," he didn't say hell because he's a pastor, he said, "why are we letting children read these books in our libraries? Why? Why are we letting them check this out? 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds. This is the shit that they're pushing through our school systems, ladies and gentlemen. Elementary school on up. Now, I get it if you're 7th and 8th grade. When I had health class, we had sex education. A portion of one semester was sex education, where you learned what a vagina was and the reproductive parts and what a penis was. They didn't get into graphic detail about anal sex. They didn't get into graphic detail about orgasms or ejaculation or masturbation. No, they got in there to teach you what your reproductive parts were. Now, the fact that they're trying to teach your 5-, 6-, 7-, and 8-year-olds about gay sex, lesbian sex, transgenderism, any of that, pushing sexual identities onto children that are very impressionable. The children, they just want to learn math, how to add 1 + 1, how to read. But you're going to push this bullshit onto fucking children? Now, I'm going to tell you one thing right now, and I'm already off on a rant, but I'm going to continue. That's not education, ladies and gentlemen. That's fucking grooming. And no, there's no one person in this world that's going to change my mind on that. And if you don't like what I just said, don't listen to the show anymore, because I don't give a shit. But that's exactly what it is. So along with that, Governor Ron DeSantis banned reassignment surgeries for children and young youths, and some depending on the adult issues. There's multiple issues that Ron DeSantis has tackled, and in my opinion, I agree with him pretty much on all of them. I haven't seen one that I really like. Yeah, that was a little out of line. He's not telling you that you can't be transgender. He's not telling you you can't be black. He's not telling you you can't be Hispanic. He's not telling you you can't be gay. What he's telling you, and he's making the message very loud and clear in the state of Florida, that you will stop with this grooming of children. And the state of Florida will have none of it. And now you've got all these groups, the NAACP and all these other groups, jumping in, defending this sick agenda that's going on across our country. These groups are shameful, because I'm going to ask you one question, and I'm going to turn it over to Chris and then Daryl, and then we'll get back to the statistics on this. Where the fuck is the NAACP in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where violent crime has risen over 200%? Where the fuck is the NAACP where carjackings have gone up 300%, in which case my brother was a victim of? Where the fuck is the NAACP when rape, violent crimes, burglaries, all those are up in massive numbers just in Minneapolis? You go to every single metropolitan area across this country, and every one of those crime statistics are through the fucking roof. You go to California, it's even worse. And you want the NAACP to stand up because transgenders can't have surgery when they're 5 years old? Like a five-year-old can make that decision in the first place? Get the fuck out of here. Chris, I'm turning it over to you. I had my rant.
I hear you had your rant, and I will counter it.
And you're
going to
double it.
You know what? First off, we've seen this tactic before. It happened just a few years ago in Missouri. I don't remember what piece of state legislation it was that triggered this. I know my dad's listening, and he's out in Missouri. Maybe he can jump in and help me out here. But there was a piece of legislation that got passed or was being passed or something, and the NAACP came out, and they issued this travel advisory. It was the same thing, saying that essentially the state of Missouri was not a safe place for people of color or people who were of the LGBTQ community. And people fall for this. They really do. I do have a friend that lives a little bit out west that is of the Democrat persuasion, and he had a daughter that fell into that LGBTQ category, and she had just graduated high school. She was getting ready to attend one of the universities there in Missouri, and he was all bent out of shape and worried, and he was absolutely convinced because of this little media stunt. He was absolutely convinced that upon her arrival in Missouri, you know, the lynch mob was going to come with their torches and their pitchforks for her, you know, because she was of a certain orientation. And I just sat there. Of course, I rolled my eyes and I tried to explain to him, like, dude, like, I grew up in Missouri. Trust me, this is a political stunt. She's going to be perfectly safe. Of course, he wasn't assured, you know, because the man on the television told him something different. And you got to believe the man on the television, because the man on the television is always right. And so now, since then, she has gone on. She attended college. She graduated. She was perfectly fine, as I predicted she would be. You know, I don't know that you know, changed his mind any. I think he still falls for every piece of fear-mongering the media throws at him. But whatever. I was correct on that one. I'm sure I won't get acknowledged for being correct on that one. I never seem to be. It does look like my dad is gonna jump in here and tell us a little bit about that. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. Just so I remember this piece of legislation. I just don't remember what it was all about. So, Dad, if you're there, come on and educate us.
Well, I was just actually going to tell you, I don't know which piece of legislation you're talking about specifically, but I do recall that there was some kind of stuff going on. But, you know, stuff that comes out of St. Louis every day. So, I know you're talking about the, you know, the legislature in Jefferson City passed this law. But as far as stirring up trouble as a result of that legislation, pretty convinced that probably came out of St. Louis. But at any rate, The closest I can think of is, are you talking about what resulted in some of the major protests at the University of Missouri at Columbia? Do you recall that?
I don't remember if it resulted in protest or not. It probably did. I just remember there was some sort of legislation that got passed that ended up with the NAACP declaring that Missouri was not a safe place for people of color to travel. And I'm sure they also sparked college protests.
And I'm sure that that's what, because there was definitely some kind of legislation and at the time, and we're going back probably, I don't know, time gets by me, but probably at least 5 years or so.
That's
about
right.
The right time frame. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's coinciding with, because of that legislation, you know, there were, and it, again, it didn't do, people were claiming, or then what the NAACP claimed it was doing. And so, of course, that caused, directly caused, major protests at the University of Missouri, and not just peaceful protests. It was a big deal, and that directly led to a major decline in enrollment, as in several thousand students didn't come back, you know, in the fall, to the point that I know that the university closed down some dormitories as a result of that decline in enrollment. So at any rate, I'm sorry I can't be more specific. I do know that there were consequences about it, and I do know that I recall the NAACP, issuing statements, about that. I just don't remember specifically what the legislation was. So I'm sorry I can't come and be to your rescue tonight.
All right. Well, I do appreciate you coming on. I'm going to move you back to the headset. But, we've seen this tactic before, and it's obvious what's happening right now in Florida. You've got a very strong Republican candidate in Ron DeSantis. His state is leading the nation in many areas, and so it's time to attack Ron DeSantis. And so what better way to do that? Well, let's go out and announce that Florida's not safe for people of color because of X, Y, Z. By the way, as far as Hispanics, I would just like to remind everybody that overwhelmingly in Miami-Dade County, for the first time in two decades, the Hispanics in that area voted red in the last election, because even though they're, portrayed by the leftist as being a bunch of uneducated people who don't know any better, they actually are educated. They do know better. They've seen this shit before, and they voted against this shit because they know what it leads to. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Jared.
Well, first of all, I want to give you guys the guest call-in number. So if you're listening through the internet right now and you want to get on and share your opinion and your thoughts about any of the subjects that we've talked about, you're more than welcome to come on, and we'll put you live on air and share your thoughts. You don't have to agree with us. You don't have to disagree with us, whatever you want to do. That phone number is 516-387-1733. Now, when you get through and you start hearing us through your phone, just press the number 1. That'll let us know on a switchboard that you have something to say, you want to come live on air, and we'll bring you on. No worries. And again, you don't have to agree with us. Just try to keep it respectful. Again, that phone number is 516-387-1733. And like always on this show, just like Florida, we wait until we're done speaking our point, and then we let the black guy talk. So, Daryl, go ahead. It's your...
Y'all are so fucking stupid. All of you. Hey, members. Got hate in your heart? Let it
What's
out.
What's your thoughts, brother?
Oh, man. Oh, there is so... Oh, my God. There is so much. And I got to thank my little brother, Henry, because he brought some things up to me. All right. Number one, the NAACP, those bunch of crazy yahoos. It seemed like, all right, now everybody, just, I know, wait, for one, NAACP, please do. Because we got plenty to talk to you about. Because I'm going to put it just like this. You're fake just like BLM. It seemed like any organization that has any, the Democratic Party, they are pieces of crap. You look at BLM, they didn't do anything to help the community. They haven't given no one any money. They just caused a bunch of bullshit. Here come the AAMCP, MOUSE bullshit. They sit up here and put out a stupid warning, which they have no reason to, because they want to stir up the pot. You know, and they probably want them to about one or two or maybe three black people that lived in Florida and say, excuse me, are you scared? Because everybody else probably looked at him and said, you know what, get the F out of my face because you're a bunch of retards. Look, people, the NAACP, MOUSC, if they really, really meant to do anything for people, then how come they're not marching their butts up to Washington and talking to Biden and say, hey, the stuff you're pulling is not working? And this is why, folks, we have Biden and his administration and his bunch of supportive yahoos of nitwits. They open up our borders. DeSantis says, I can't take any more people. So now I am going to do something because this president and his yahoo, who's supposed to be in charge of the border, have done nothing. Now, folks, all you folks who want to get mad at DeSantis, number one, I understand with some of the laws that he's written, yeah, he went overboard. If I went to Florida and I seen someone on the side of the road and I was like, you know what, I'm going to take you to the next stop so that way you're not out here. And from what I was told is that if I was stopped and the illegal was in my truck, now I get arrested. Okay, that's plain-ass stupid. But at the same time, like I explained to someone when my brother didn't understand it, I said this very simple, and I'm going to sum it up like this. Say, for instance, you bring in all your relatives over, and you got some friends and some strangers come over to your house, and the government looks at you and say, hey, you can have as many people as you want. Fire department comes over and say, you can have as many people here as you want. You start bringing all these people in. All of a sudden, you're going to say, wait a minute, I have no room. I don't have the food. I don't have the money to help all these people. I don't have the room. Are you going to continue to take people in? Or are you going to say, hey, I love you, but you can't come in? You just can't. I don't have any more room. This is what DeSantis is up to. And all of you guys who are sitting here and you're boycotting Florida and trucks don't want to go into Florida, y'all talking to the wrong state. You need to go there where Biden is at. You need to go where the president is at. The NAACP, with their stupidity, they don't have enough balls to go up to the president and say that he's doing wrong because they're lapdogs. That's all they are. They get money from the Democratic Party to go ahead and fund them so they can go ahead and pass this poison. And I agree with things that Jeremy said. I do agree with that because you do not come to the point where you're teaching our kids this filth. Also, back in the day, whether you were gay or whatever, we didn't care. You know why? Because you didn't push it on us. We knew that you liked the same sex. We treated you pretty cool. There's no issue. But then all of a sudden, you have Obama who's running for his second term. Yeah, and I can hear it now. Oh, he's going to Obama. The truth is the truth. He started this BS on his second term, and then here we go. Look where we're at now. We're at a point where we know the stuff they're pushing is bad. You vote, who in the LGBT community decided to go ahead and throw in trans into the mix. They did that. Folks, you need to start thinking a little bit. They don't want you. They don't want us to get along. They don't want us to have a strong nation. They don't want us to understand, you know what, we love God, and this is what we see. They don't want you parents. They don't want you parents to have control over your kids. They are slowly trying to take over. And you now we are the laughing stock of the nation. We wasn't a laughing stock when Trump was here. We're a laughing stock because we have Biden. And some of you guys who step back and say, oh, well, Trump, he's too blunt. Look what we got now, a mumbling idiot that he's not even president. I'm sorry, he's not. We got somebody pulling the strings. And so now we're at a point where everybody is trying to blame everyone else, but everybody seems like they're too afraid to say, you know what, the Democratic Party, y'all screwed up. So why don't you start fixing it? Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that people in the Democratic Party are all bad. There's not. People in the Democratic Party that's looking at this and says, you know what, this is BS. You know what, we need to do something, but they don't have enough numbers. Same thing for the Republicans. But then you got some Republicans.
Slow down there, Sparky.
They're evil, too. What?
Hold on.
You know what? I'm going to back you up here.
I'm going to back you up here with some statistics. This comes from the FBI, 2016 crime in the United States, the FBI. There's their own statistics. This isn't something I made up. This is in this is for murder. Okay, in 2016, race of victim, white, 3,499. Race of offender, white, 2,854. White on white crime, a good majority of it. Okay, now just bear with me here. Black or African American that committed murder onto white people in 2016. 533 were black people that killed 3,499 white people. Now, white on white crime, right? Let's go to the black and African American. Yep. The race of the victim, black or African American, 2,870. 600 less people. 600 less black people were killed by murder. How many of them were killed by a white person? Of the 2,870, 243 were killed by a white person. How many were killed by a black, the black-on-black murder? 2,570 to 2,870. 2,570 blacks killed 2,870 of the murder victims in 2016. So now let's compare the numbers for a second. White murder victims were killed by black or African Americans 533 times. Black murder victims were killed by white offenders 243 times. We don't have a problem with white on black or white supremacy. Is there white supremacy? Is there racism? Absolutely there is. But not anything compared to what the mainstream media is making it out to be. It's just not there. The statistics prove that.
But
here's another one.
But you,
this is from the FBI's Universal Crime Report in 2014. Now check this out. 90% of black people killed were killed by other black people, and 14.8% of white people killed were killed by black people. That's 2014. Now compare that to the 2016 table that I showed you. The numbers are damn near identical. Ladies and gentlemen, the same statistic has been going on year after year after year after year. They barely change. The problem we have in this country is black on black crime in the inner cities. I'm sorry to say it that way, but that's the truth.
It is the truth. The thing is, you look at all these we'll take away the labels. Look at these politicians. I'm just going to say Al Sharpton, Maxine Waters, the NAACP, and BLM. What are they doing about this? Nothing. They don't do anything. And we sit back as a black community. We pretend, oh, you know, it's the white person's fault. Oh, it's the Hispanic people's fault. Oh, it's the creature of the Black Lagoon's fault. But we don't sit back and say, you know what? We need to quit fucking up and we need to start doing better. Yo, we don't have, when the riots were going on, not hardly any black person, and I'm going to say on both sides of the aisle, didn't stand up and say, you know what? We need to stop doing this. You don't see Al Sharpton standing up and going into black neighborhoods and saying, you know what? We need to start cleaning up these neighborhoods. You don't see Kamala Harris. You don't see her in the black neighborhood because she's supposed to be a quote-unquote strong black woman, which is a bunch of bullshit. Where is she at? Nowhere. Where is any of our leaders at? Nowhere. Everybody wants to sit back and act like a freaking victim. I am tired of the black community acting like we're victims. We are not victims. We have people who have invented stuff
now,
when there's laws that were made against black people and white people where you can't even drink in the same fountain or go to the same bathroom, couldn't even have the same job, couldn't have anything, any of those things as a white person. But did that stop these black people from inventing things? Did that stop the black man from inventing the stoplight, blood, the countertop, from inventing the burglar alarm system? It did not. But yet, we have people for some reason today, they want to have everything for freaking free. They don't want to fight for it. And they sit back and say, well, I got hurt because they called me the N-word. You know what? You call me the N-word, I'm going to laugh at you because it's stupid. But if you can't get anywhere because they called you a name, then you have issues. And for all of you people that sit back here and said, well, black people, you know, I'm black and I don't like America. You know what? I'm just going to say this. Fuck you. Because what you have done for all these black folks, that went on and invented things and did things so that we can go ahead and get ahead, and you know, all these black people in sports, for the first black of everything, for you to say that, only thing you just did, you just spit on their grave. And you don't even know the history on it, and you want to say some bullshit like that, but yet you're too afraid to stand up to someone in your own neighborhood and say, you know what, we got to do better than this. That's why I'm getting sick and tired of the NAACP and all these other yahoos.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Out of the whole population, okay, this is according to African American Literature Book Club, their site. Out of the population, what's the percentage that the blacks take up of the population of the United States? What would your guess be? And then I'll ask Chris the same question.
What's the population make of blacks in the United States?
What percentage of the population is black? What percentage?
36%.
36%? Chris, what's your guess?
I'm going to run with approximately 17%.
Okay, so here's your answer to both of you. Blacks commit 60% of all violent crime. 60%. They only are 14% of the population. I want you to resonate. There's a problem in the black culture, in the black communities, and we've talked about this before on this show. And I've said this for many years, and people call me a racist for even saying it. But I'm not saying it to be racist. I'm saying it to be honest with you. What we have is black families torn apart by the system. The fathers out there, they don't want to stand up and be fathers. They stick their dick into something. Out pops a baby in 9 months, but the father's long gone. And it happens over and over and over again. And I'm going to be very graphic and very truthful how I describe this. Not that it doesn't happen in the white communities, but it's happening more in the black communities, unfortunately. But it goes down to family values and the core families that they're trying to rip from all of us, because you're seeing a hell of a lot more. Listen, I come from a family. I was married. I was divorced. I was an over-the-road truck driver. My children were raised by my ex-wife. My who was a very responsible woman, and my mom and dad, they helped out. They did what they could do. But there was family involved in every aspect of my children's lives. When there's a family, let me just say it this way. When there's a black mother in the inner city and she has relationships with another black male and she gets pregnant and he just did it for a one-night stand, but, well, it produced a baby. She's left standing with this baby. By the way, abortions with black women in the inner cities are through the fucking roof, if you didn't know that. When you guys are talking, I'm going to look up that statistic. Because
I got something to say about
it's
that.
Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Okay. This is kind of a little reminder to any listeners who may be, you know, coming in to get ammunition against us. I know we have some leftist, Democrat, DNC haters out there that do listen to the show just long enough to complain and talk some trash about us. But here's the question I want to pose. Let's talk about the fact that the Democrats, the old Democrats, were the party of the KKK. Let's talk about the fact that the old Democrats were the one who voted against civil rights. And when you try to say that, well, those were the old Democrats, they're not the current Democrats. No, I'd like to remind you that your potatoes, Joe Biden, is on video reminding everyone that he does not want his kids to be raised in a biracial jungle. And this was way back, you know, integration of schools era. So he is the old Democrat Party. But the point I'm getting at is the same party that used to represent the KKK, the same party that turned around then and started introducing a welfare system that was designed to break apart the black family. The same Democrat Party that is currently responsible for crime rates that are out of control in the black communities more than anywhere else is the same party that backs the Planned Parenthood clinics that overwhelmingly are aborting babies in minority neighborhoods. I just wanted to point that out to you. Are they really a Democrat Party? Or are they the same old KKK they always were? That's all I got to say about that.
You're not wrong, but I found just this statistic. I just looked it up. Now, this is from 2004. We're talking 20 years ago, 19 years ago. Proportion of U.S. abortions in 2004. White women. 34% of abortions were by white women. 34%. Black women, 37%. Hispanic women, 22%. Other, 8%. So if you add in the other ethnic groups without focusing on the black or Hispanic, you're looking at 66% roughly, to 34% white women. And the crime that is being committed in the United States of America is being committed by 14% of the population, and 60% of the violent crime is being committed by. That's just the black. If you start breaking down the numbers, you're going to start understanding that this isn't a white supremacy issue. This is so much deeper than a little surface scratch that the politicians and the mainstream media would have you to believe. But I just wanted to bring that up, and I'm going to look some more while Daryl's talking, because I know Daryl has more to say about this matter. And so, Daryl, go ahead. I'm going to put my phone on mute, and I'm going to look up some more statistics while you talk. Okay, brother?
All right. Okay. Earlier, a while ago in the show and a couple of times, I already mentioned this. I've said this, and it's not something I made up. Now, folks, now you listen. Now, let's put it like this. We got some white folks that looked it up, and they're like, damn, large Negro, you are correct. You know what? Because I will tell you the truth. I'm not worried about hurting your damn feelings. I really don't give a shit about your feelings. All right? I'm not here to give a crap about your feelings. If you get butt hurt because I'm telling you the truth, because you're doing dumb shit, then so be it. But at least you know I'm going to tell you the truth. And I will say this. Jeremy, you're being too nice because and I understand, about the woman side, but let's just call it like it is, because here it goes. And some of you women, you can get mad at me if you want to, but the point being is this. Yes, these men need to start taking control. When you get somebody pregnant, you need to take the responsibility. Some of you women, you need to shut your fucking legs. All right, period. Because a lot of you're popping out kids because the government go ahead and give you a damn welfare check for every kid that you get. So you can get mad at me all you want, but the truth is the truth. And a lot of y'all are sitting back, jumping up and down, saying, that motherfucker, somebody just finally said the truth about this. You know what? Because we don't take any responsibilities for anything. We sit back and look at our rap songs. Back in the day, we had R&B. All our songs had meaning to it. They meant family. You had things where they're talking about love. You know what? We got our
Daryl, can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, man, but I just found this one statistic from 2022, and the other one was from, 2014. So in 8 years, the women, black women, that the percentage of black women that are having abortions in this country went from 37% in 2014 to 40% in 2022. Now, I'm still looking through this stuff, but this is what people need to understand. In the abortions, violent crime, I can go on with statistics all day long. I mean, it could take all night. What I'm just trying to prove to you that what the mainstream media portrays, the white on black or the black on white or the whole racial division bullshit, it's a farce. It's a lie. There's problems within each community, not just blacks, but whites also.
Yep.
And it depends on your geographic area. You go up to northern Minnesota on the Indian reservation, the crime is out of fucking control up there. And it shows it on maps. Yep. I looked at it earlier today. When you look at violent crimes in Minnesota, the metropolitan area is scattered with violent crime. You go down to the Rochester area, it's all blue areas, by the way. And I'm sorry that that offends you, and I'm not sorry that it offends you, because that's the statistics and that's the facts. You go back up to the Indian Reservation, blue area, the Iron Range area. Now, you get down to southwest Minnesota, western Minnesota, where it's predominantly Republican voting, conservative voting people, the crime rates go down, like, drastically, like, hugely. So you need to start looking and comparing what areas are having the higher violent crime rates, who's in control of those areas, because I've had liberals come at me and say, do you know that most violent crimes happen in red states? Yeah, I do know that. And do you know that 90% of those violent crimes happen in democratically controlled cities? Bullshit. No, that's a fact. They don't want to see that part of it. You know, that the truth is out there, but you got to look for it, and you got to start using your critical thinking ability, and you got to compare apples to oranges, apples to apples. That's it can't be what you just feel like. Well, it happens in red states, so there you have it. Close the book. Now we got the answer. Yep, it's red states. It's Republicans that are doing it. No, it's not. Do Republicans, are they violent? Absolutely. Both parties are guilty of it. But the good majority of it are happening in democratically controlled cities and states. This is all out there. All you have to do is look for it. But they don't want to. They're too lazy. They don't want to know the truth. They want to keep their head buried in the sand because it's safer there. I was one of you. I get it. But I'm sorry, Daryl, for interrupting you. But go ahead, brother.
No. I'm glad you did, because we bounce off each ideas off each other, because we're trying to let you people know this is what's going on. Let me ask, black folks, I don't care what race you are. Let me ask you this, and I hope somebody calls back on this. Why is it every time and I'm going to mention on the black community because I'm a brother. Why is it when someone of color is trying to do something better with their life, is trying to do something to get out of poverty and to go ahead and not depend on the government, why do we have to call them a sellout? Why do we have to call them an Uncle Tom? Why do we have to call them, oh, they just want to be white. Oh, they just want to talk white. Oh, they just want to go ahead and make money. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with being able to pull up from the bootstraps, from the dirt, and tell the government, I don't need to depend on you. You know what? I'm making my own money. I'm making my own decisions. I'm going to go ahead and have a family. You know, and on part of that, you know, let's just call it like it is. All right? There are some men out there, they don't want nothing to do with their kids. You're not fucking men. You're fucking cowards. That's how I see it on that. There's other men who want everything to do with their kids, but for some reason, you women want to go ahead and use those kids as a weapon. And that's part of the problem. So we got legislation with our courts, which they don't want to, which they don't want to even talk about and fix, that we have some judges that they don't care. They look at a mixed couple or a black person and say, well, you're a piece of crap anyway. And so with all of this going on, there's a great big disadvantage where it's like, well, how are we going to go ahead and start honoring the family code? And this stuff is for real, and no one wants to talk about it. And when I talk about political side, look, start voting for people who are not afraid to tell you the damn truth. It doesn't matter what label it is. Take away the damn labels and look at the person for who they are. Because 90% of the crap that we sit back and we complain about, we all agree. You know what? I keep driving the point, and I'm going to say it again and again, because I know Orleans, he got mad at me when I went on and said something. He came on, he didn't even do any research on me. If he did, what he said was stupid because, well, you sound like Republican. No, I sound like Daryl Gibbs. Because, see, I don't sit back and go by Republican guidelines or Democratic guidelines. I do something what God gave me. It's called damn common sense. It's be able to read the Constitution, read the amendments, and go by God's word the best of my ability, because I ain't the holiest of holies, and be not afraid to make wise decisions and stand up. So why is it that we always have to be down here at the bottom? How come we're not helping each other get up top? History lesson. The gang called the Disciples back in Chicago. Back in the day, they used to have a part of Chicago where they made sure their kids went to school, made sure they got an education, they swept the businesses, swept around the homes. It was clean. And who had a problem with it? It was the mayor of Chicago, came in, dismantled it. Now you have gang members. How come we cannot, as a community, black, Hispanic, poor white, as a community, pull off our bootstraps and stop listening to the bullshit of the president and his and all these people that does dumb shit. NAACP, they're not for the goodness of black folks. Only they are.
No,
they're there for the Democratic Party.
That. I can prove that right now with this article I just found.
Right.
I've been reading it. And I'm like, I wanted to interrupt you, but I wanted to let you get out what you wanted to say because I think it's important for people to hear what you have to say.
Yes.
I'm going to read this. And then I want to go to Chris because I want Chris to analyze this. And then we'll come back to you, Daryl. And black Americans die from gun violence at nearly 2.4 times the rate of white Americans. On average, more than 12,400 black people die from gun violence each year, with 15,548 such deaths in 2021 alone, the highest number on record. Alarmingly, nearly all forms of gun violence have been rising among black Americans. Firearm homicides rose 61% from 2018 to 2021. 61%, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this, on black Americans alone. Firearm suicide, unintentional shooting, and police shooting deaths have also shown troubling increases over the same period of time. The vast majority of gun deaths among black Americans are gun homicides. And black Americans make up the majority of gun homicide victims in the U.S. In fact, 83% of all gun deaths among black Americans are gun homicides, despite the fact that black boys and men account for just 6% of the total population in 2022. comprise more than half of all gun homicide victims. The disparities in black and white homicide rates are particularly stark in large cities and counties. Research suggests that roughly half of all gun homicides take place in just 127 cities, driving the elevated rates of homicides in these geographies. Excuse me. In the nation's 20 largest counties, black men ages 18 to 25 die from gun homicides at a rate nearly 19 times that of white residents. This disparity means that while 5 out of every 100,000 young white people in these counties die from gun homicides, more than 1 in every 10,000 young black people are killed in such incidents. Homicide has been the leading cause of death for black men ages 15 to 44 for more than half a century. Half a century, ladies and gentlemen. More than 86% of homicides in black communities involve firearms. 86%. These disparities are even more striking for young black men. Gun homicides are the leading cause of death and more than outstrip the next 15 leading causes of death combined. In other words, in 2021, more black men ages 15 to 24 died in gun homicides than from unintentional injuries, suicide, heart disease, COVID-19, cancer, non-firearm homicides, diabetes, congenital abnormalities, and chronic respiratory diseases, police shootings, cerebrovascular diseases, anemias, sepsis, influenza, and pneumonia, and HIV combined. You want me to read that whole list over again? I mean, that's alarming. That shouldn't be just alarming to the black community. That should be alarming to all of us. That is showing you right now that this isn't a white supremacy or a white supremacist issue that Joe Biden keeps on putting out and gaslighting you on these press conferences. We have a major problem in our black communities that needs attention, not from the black community, not from the white community, not from our government, but from all of us. There is a major problem going on in our black communities right now, and everybody can point their fingers on that one or this one or the government or whatever. You can point it on whatever you want to point it on. Doesn't matter. Doesn't change the fact that black men ages 15 to 24 outstrip the next 15 leading causes of death combined. They're dying homicides. And I'll get to the rest of this article because it's a long article, and I want to read some more statistics because statistics, numbers don't lie. Well, unless it's COVID-19 and the government manipulates it, but that's a whole another show. But, Chris, what do you think? You live in the Chicago area. You see the violence up in that neck of the woods. The numbers I just read are staggering to me. Like, while I was reading that last part, I just was like, holy shit. We got a big, way bigger problem than I even thought we had. I'll just give it right to you, Chris.
To remind everybody that ice cream causes global warming. And you can clearly see this, okay? You can clearly see this if you put a chart of ice cream sales next to a chart depicting temperatures, okay? Now, I know what you're thinking. I know you're thinking, well, no, ice cream doesn't cause global warming. People buy ice cream when it's hot. It's the opposite, right? And that's the example I like to run with because that is a correlation versus causation argument, okay? And I think it's pretty clear. People eating ice cream does not cause the weather to change and get hot. People buy ice cream when it's hot outside, right? It's the other way around. However, this is the tactic that is used by the mainstream media. They present correlations as cause and effect, okay? And it gets used and abused all the time. But the simple fact of the matter is when you look at statistics, especially like crime statistics, they don't spell what's happening in the background. Really? You're going to hit me with the ice cream truck? But, no, seriously, when it comes to these statistics, you have to look at what's happening in the background. And these arguments are used a lot, you know, especially in gun control debates, where they just throw some raw numbers out there and they present a correlation as a causation rather than just a correlation. And so ultimately, you've got to look at what's driving these numbers and what is the reason that correlation exists. What can we do as a society to go in and take care of that problem? What can we do to reduce these numbers? And that's where you come across the fact that there is a cultural issue. And it's not just amongst the black community. Obviously, I think we know, you know, Chris Rock hit it pretty well when he said that he's reached the point that if, you know, he finds himself in an elevator with a group of white teenagers, he's getting the hell out, you know, because he's afraid of a mass shooting. You know, there's issues that need to be resolved where we got to figure out what's happening. Why are these gun homicide statistics out of control in the black neighborhoods? Why are the mass shooting statistics so out of control, especially where it comes to white kids of school age? And that's the part nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to get in. Nobody wants to dig at the bigger problem and figure out what the root cause is. We want to put Band-Aids on things. We want to label people. At the end of the day, it's all about assigning labels to achieve some sort of political agenda. And I'm very much against that. And I'm a problem solver. I want to know what's driving these problems. What do we do to solve them? And I think Democrat policies in particular are a huge driver of the problems we're seeing in the black communities. I think Democrat policies are a huge driver of what we see driving the mass shootings that occur with the white students. And that's, yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Jared? Or you know what, Daryl? What do you think about that, Daryl?
I agree with you on that. You know, they're, you know, it's like the sleight of hand thing. They say this, but then to trigger that. And, you know, and I know when Jeremy, you know, when you say, you know, about the Democratic Party, there's bad actors on both sides. But the reason I say a lot about the Democratic Party is this is exactly what happens when you have people with evil intentions. Yeah, and like over here, like in Denver, you know, the Republican Party, they keep trying to pass things that people look at and it's like, okay, this makes sense. But then you have the Democratic Party, they don't want to do that because they want everybody to fight each other. They don't want parents to have any control. And one of the things, when you, and Jeremy, when you listed all those things that's dealing with black folks, that we're nowhere near the population count, but we're heavy numbers and all this stuff. It goes all the way back to the Democratic Party because they haven't changed with adoption, with abortion. Abortion was created to either get rid of the black race or to reduce their numbers. And everything they have done, all these laws that they have done, has done nothing to improve the quality of life of black folks. But then let's also look at it like this. We have people in the black community who quote unquote call themselves leaders, and they're okay to go after another race, but they're too chicken shit to look at the black community and say we have to do better. And again, when someone does tell the black community they have to do better, first we want to get all violent and we want to burn things down. Why is it that we have to burn down our own community? And why is it we're the only race? And I'm just going to put it there. We're the only race that burns down our own damn communities. The Chinese, they have problems with the white folks. Did they burn down Chinatown? No. The Irish, they have problems with white folks. Did they burn down the Irish community? But here we are. Every time some shit starts, what do we do? And the Democratic Party is laughing at you, and you guys don't get it. And I keep telling you this time and time and time again. You look at Obama, look at
Daryl.
All of them. Don't, what?
Daryl.
Because I'm telling the truth? Because I'm telling the
no,
truth?
Well, no,
look at it.
No, because you missed out something.
Oh, boy.
You missed the white guys in the fucking white robes that burned crosses in people's yards. What about those folks?
No. Oh, no, wait a minute. See, that's why. Oh, see, oh, I brought that up. Now, people, you know what the history of that? That's why. Why do you think so many black people are Democrats? I was the same way. Because, okay.
We got a caller, by the way.
Hold on. Here's a history lesson for you people. All right? The Democratic Party, the reason they got so strong is because the KKK, when they sit up there and they look at people and say, you better vote for these people or else we're going to come out and we're going to hang you and we're going to burn down your house. That is the truth. That's how the things happened back then. So automatically we're going to keep voting Democrat. Now here it is, just like the Stockholm Syndrome, we're still doing that. But now we got people who begin to say, you know what, this party was never for us, never have been, never will be. And you know what? And I'm one of them because I used to be a Democrat. I'm no longer. You used to be a Democrat, Jeremy. You're no longer.
Yeah.
People are beginning to wake up, and we have to start. We have to start waking up, folks, and start voting for people who's going to sit up there and they're going to fight for you. They're going to sit back and not afraid to tell Biden that he's a bigoty piece of crap and that Kamala Harris, that she doesn't even claim black anyway. Only time she claims black is when she's trying to smoke some weed with somebody and she's on a radio show. With everybody else, she's Asian. So there you go, folks. Start voting for people.
All right.
I
got to move on because we're on limited time here, and I got one more subject I got to get to. But I want to take our caller, Brian. Brian, I'm going to bring you on the air right now and let you share your thoughts and what you have to say tonight. How you doing tonight, brother?
Oh, you know, living the dream. About the same as always.
One nightmare at a time. Yep. One nightmare at a time.
Nightmares.
What's up tonight, brother?
Too, man.
So, that's right.
Hearing you guys talk about this notion of like what's going on, and anybody who's talked to me for more than 5 minutes knows that I'm a nut when it comes to history. So I study a lot of that stuff, and you're right that it is prevalent in the black community, but it is more so in the white community than it was 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 50 years ago. And I think what's going on is we have two things to blame for it. We have this notion of relativity. You know, how many times have you heard somebody say, put yourself first? Hey, you got to do what's good for you. You got to look out for number one. Now, please understand, there's no way, shape, form, or fashion I'm ever telling you that, you know, you need to hurt yourself to make other people better. But we have stopped as a whole actually balancing that. What's good for me isn't always good for everybody else. And what comes with that is we've also thrown into this mix this notion of the commodity of life. Like, it is cheap. I mean, you guys are throwing around the statistics for the numbers of the abortions, but here's a simple fact. Since Roe v. Wade, there have been 1 million abortions every year. Now, just to put this in perspective, more than 40 million people that should be on this planet that are not. And it goes back to that notion that we have literally made life so cheap and we only look out for ourselves. Now, I'm not saying every single person does that, but that's kind of the notion that you get into pop culture. And that attitude is making headway in every single community, white, black, Asian, Mexican, all of it. And we are reaping what we have sowed. You know, it's that simple. There's no two ways about it. So there's a collective unifying theory as to why we keep ending up in this mess, if that helps at all. I will say, though, that I agree with you guys that there are always bad actors on both sides. But I will say that when you're on the side that continually says that 40 million people dying is an acceptable thing so long as you get your cell phone or you get that promotion or you get to go to the beach or whatever, you're probably on the wrong side. Just a thought for you.
No, thanks, Brian. I appreciate you calling in, man. We always appreciate your opinion. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to put you back in your microphone, Brian. Sorry, on the headset. Brian's called in numerous times. He's a friend of the show. He's disagreed with us numerous times, mainly me. And that's because I'm very opinionated, and I just say what's on my mind. Sometimes I don't think it out all the way. There's a lot of times I do, but sometimes I don't. And Brian's called me out on that, and I can appreciate that. Not once have we gotten a screaming match or a yelling match or we called each other names. He just said, you know, Jeremy, I'm going to have to get on here and disagree with you. That's the beautiful thing about this show. You can do that. We've had people call in and just make complete asses of themselves, and we just sit back and listen and, you know, maybe crack a joke or two, but in one instance anyway. But bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome to call in and share your opinion. You don't have to agree with us. The phone number for that is 516-387-1733. And when you start hearing the show on your telephone, your radio, whatever you're listening to or your telephone, just press the number 1. That makes me aware that you want to come on. I'll call out your last 4 digits of your phone number, just your last 4, not your whole phone number, because we respect your privacy. But that phone number, again, is 516-387-1733. Now, I know this is a touchy subject. The subjects that we've been talking about, every time we get on here, we try to make it where a good debate can happen. And usually it's just us three debating amongst each other, and we normally agree with each other. Sometimes we don't. That's okay. But I kind of want to transfer over to our next subject that I found a little scary, a little odd. I'm really, honestly, my mind's been spinning about it ever since I heard about it. And that subject is the Sergeant at Arms in the U.S. Senate offered every senator in the United States Senate, somebody needs to mute their phone. He offered them emergency satellite phones. Emergency satellite phones. He offered the whole Senate, all 100 senators, and 50 of them took that offer. We don't know which 50. We don't know details. All we know is that 50 United States senators now have emergency satellite phones in case of an emergency where our grid goes down, and they're required to carry that with them at all times. The talk of nuclear war with Russia involving Ukraine and China getting involved and Taiwan and all this shit going on really, really made me think about a lot of things, what's really happening. Then you have 60,000 pounds of ammonium citrate. I think I said that right, ammonium citrate, nitrate, whatever the hell. It's a fertilizer that... the hell's his name in Oklahoma City bombing? Shit. Help me out here, Chris. What the hell was his name? Timothy McVeigh. He used, according to the FBI. That's a whole different subject. That's a whole different, I've been researching into that, and I don't even want to go there tonight because that's another 2-hour show. But anyway, Timothy McVeigh used the same substance in the Oklahoma City bombing, and he used 5,000 pounds to blow up the Alfred P. Murrah building in Oklahoma City. Now there's 60,000 pounds of that same substance missing from a train that was traveling from Wyoming to California. They backtracked the tracks. They can't find any of it. It must have lost it at a slow pace. No, somebody stole 60,000 pounds of this. That news comes out. The border's wide open. They're catching people on the terror watch list. They're busing these people into the inner cities, the big inner cities, New York City. What did I just hear the other day? 50 or 60% of their hotels are currently full with illegal immigrants or whatever you want to call them. 50% of New York City's hotels are full. They're starting to bus them up to upstate New York. They're bussing them to Alabama, Chicago, Minneapolis, all your big cities. Unvetted illegal immigrants, and they have caught numerous people on the border that were on the terrorist watch list that they've caught. How many have gotten through that are terrorists, ladies and gentlemen, that the Biden administration allows to continue to cross with no regulations, no nothing? They just let them go, and they bust them and give them phones. We got bomb-making material missing that is in massive numbers. The 60,000 pounds could literally blow up a small town. Is this what they want? Do they want to bring the war to America? I don't know. But when you have 50 state United States senators taking the offer of an emergency cell phone, a satellite cell phone, we got issues. There's something going on, and the media is silent about it, of course, because they're nothing but a propaganda machine. Chris, what's your thoughts on that, on this whole issue with the satellite phones and stuff?
Well, it's interesting because back in the 1980s, the Soviet Union, the old USSR, they, of course, you know, they were our arch rival. They were the communists, we were the capitalists. And they did a huge study because they were concerned about the U.S. conducting a first strike nuclear operation against their country. And so they wanted to know, okay, what are some of the signs that we would look for if the U.S. were planning a first strike offensive? And there's a whole list of things. But one of the items that's on that list of things to look for is the establishment. And keep in mind, this is well before cell phones and sat phones and all that. But one of the items was the establishment of emergency communications amongst government, high-level government leaders. Like senators. And so what this looks like outwardly is a continuity of government type situation where more or less they're kind of feeling like there's going to be a need to have emergency communications amongst top government officials because some disaster is coming. The question, of course, is what disaster is that? Well, obviously the threat of nuclear war is very high on the list right now. But it's not just the nuclear threat we have to worry about. There's also the threat of the EMP attack, right, the electromagnetic pulse, which is essentially like a missile, a bomb that comes out and it delivers, it delivers a damaging blow that disables essentially all electronic devices, renders our power grid useless, wipes out all communication forms as far as like your standard cell phones and everything. And then there's the other avenue to worry about, which is that aside from your EMP attacks, aside from your nuclear attacks, you have the possibility that some other type of emergency, some other type of attack, perhaps a cyber attack, could come in and wipe out cell phone networks, could wipe out internet communications. And that's where the sat phones come into play. The satellite phones are designed to work directly with the satellites in orbit in order to establish communications. You no longer have to go through a private carrier with a network that exists through cell phone towers here on the surface. The sat phone connection allows you to communicate, send signals directly to a satellite and connect to other devices that are directly connected to the satellite system. So the fact that they are doing this, to me, it's a huge red flag that they are predicting one of these three situations as a very high probability of a near future occurrence. That's my thoughts on it.
Well, Daryl, why don't you give your thoughts on that, give your final thoughts of the show tonight, and then we'll go back to Chris for his final thoughts, and then go back to me and give my final thoughts, and we'll end another successful show of the Disrespected Trucker radio show, number 79, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Only 21 more weeks, and you get to hear all 100 episodes. Wait till you hear the next 21. But, Daryl, go ahead and share your thoughts on that subject and your final thoughts of the radio show tonight. And we've each got about roughly 5 minutes.
And also, folks, you can hear us on Spotify. So you'll hear all after we're done with our program. Kim, who is awesome, she'll be putting it up. And we'll be on, and we are always on Spotify, so you can hear every last one of the episodes. And what Chris said, people, you need to take some heat on that, because the things that are going on is not looking good. They don't care for the common people. If you look at these legislators, back in the day it was, what can we do for America? And a lot of you folks, you get mad at me all you want, but Trump, he came in and he messed up their plans and they didn't like it. So that's why they're going after him so hard. Because you have a man who works, he's not in the political ring, and you know what? And so what? I don't care about his mannerisms. Only thing I care about is someone who loves America, who sits back and wants America to prosper and to be first and take care of our military. And these people that are in power right now, they don't care about our military. They don't care about you, the regular people, because if they did, they wouldn't be doing the stuff they wouldn't have us in the situation that we're in. Also, when you mentioned about, I think you mentioned about New York, where all these people are coming in and they're having these hotels filled up. You know what? Where's the NAACP? Where is Black Lives Matter? Where's all these folks? Because right now you got black folks that were on the housing list. They just now got kicked out. So they're not on the housing list anymore because the immigrants are coming in. And, where are they? So that tells you, people, you got to start looking at these things. And for everybody who has come over here to the United States, let me tell you something right now. We're not against immigrants. We speak, we see things, and we speak things. And we have people that come on, and they say different things. And you have to look at the whole thing, what we're saying. And the whole the situation before, the United States, people who live here in the United States, who are born here in the United States, they understand immigrants. They understand that we have to have it. They're fine with it as long as you do it legally. And the problem is we have people that are in our administration that just open up our borders, and that's not what we want. We want things controlled. We want people to come in and do their thing. And people who serve the military, you know what? It should be after 6 years, you automatically are a citizen, and your family members are close to you. And then also one thing, hey, Brian, I love what you said about abortion, but if people really are serious about abortion, then they start need to look at how to fix the foster child problem and the adoption system. Because when you give people money to go get kids overseas instead of giving kids, giving people money to get our kids here and help them raise our kids, there we have a problem. So until these people, until people figure out, we got to take care of, we got to clean up the foster side of this and the adoption agency. So that way people will want to get American kids and have some help taking care of American kids. And then we can start looking at having less abortions. And again, everybody, I thank you for listening to our show. I thank you for the feedback that we get. And you know what? I'm just out there. I'm just going to tell it to you like it is. And I am very, very passionate about this. You know, I drive this truck because I love doing it. I do politics because I believe in the future, and I believe people need to start being they need to start standing up for what they believe in and start standing up for everyone. So I appreciate everyone who's listening. And Chris, Jeremy, Tim, again, I will always thank you for having me on this show, and I appreciate all the goofiness that we do, even though y'all part of the KKK. You know, I still love you. There we go. Have a good night.
Oh, there we go with the white powder again. Yep, it's always the white powder and the black powder and good Lord Almighty. Chris, why don't we go to you? Kim, I want you to come on after Chris, if you don't mind. I don't want to put you on the spot without you knowing first. But come on after Chris for a few minutes and share your thoughts. It's always nice to hear your voice, and I know that you had some stuff you had to do earlier in the show, and we don't go to you enough just because, you know, there's a lot of the weeks Kim's got things that she's doing, so she doesn't she's not able to join us. But she was able to join us tonight. We sure appreciate her and everything she does, and I would sure appreciate her thoughts tonight for a few minutes. So, Chris, why don't you go ahead? That way it gives Kim a few minutes to prepare.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to be the first one to tell you that there are some people in this country that are racist. There are some people in this country that are anti-immigrant. There are some people that want to shut down the border because they don't want people from Mexico coming across. That is a harsh reality. That is a true fact. However, that is not the issue with what's going on at our southern border. What happens when you open your border up to the degree that we have in this country is that you present a security risk. You present an opportunity for your enemies from around the world to start slipping people into the crowd that's flooding the border. And you can get anybody you want across that border because it's being so inundated. Nobody's being vetted. Nobody's being checked. All right. You just get sent across and you get sent to some other part of the country. And that's where we are. And so we've already had multiple incidents where, because this isn't just a Mexico deal. It's not like we just have people from Mexico coming across the border. Most of us don't have a problem with that poor family from Mexico or wherever that wants to get into our border so that they can come in and work and make some money and take care of their family in a non-poverty situation. Most of us don't have that issue. The problem is we've opened up this door to where we have cartels that are able to human traffic children, and they are human trafficking children across the border. They are operating with child sex slaves, and they're able to slip in amongst the other people who just want a better life. We also have the fact that we've had all sorts of groups that have been observed of military age males, able-bodied military age males in large groups from several different nations that have also been spotted here and there slipping in across the border along with the other opportunity seekers. And that's the danger, is that we don't know. We are getting so slammed with people coming across our southern border, we don't know who all is in the mix. And it almost seems like it's a kind of choreographed thing that we are setting this up. The other issue is that we are spending massive amounts of money. And I don't want you to think of this in respect of think of your own budget at home. Imagine you're maxed out. Imagine you're more than maxed out. Imagine that you are already spending more money every month than you're bringing in. And instead of saying, okay, we got to figure out how to take on a second job or take on some sort of side gig where we can bring more money in, at the same time we have to figure out how we're going to reduce our spending. Maybe we go and we get a membership at Costco or Sam's Club so we can buy bulk groceries, or maybe we start going directly to the farmer's market where we can get large amounts of food for the family for cheaper because we're cutting out the middleman. Imagine instead of doing all that, you instead just say, you know what, we're just going to keep swiping the credit card. We're just going to open more credit accounts. We're just going to keep increasing our debt, and we're going to keep increasing the amount of money we have to put out every month without increasing the amount of money we're bringing in. That's what's happening, because we're already in a sad state. We're in a sad state of affairs where we have got this massive national debt, and we are already spending more money than we're bringing in. And instead of remedying that situation, we're busting out the credit card. We're bringing in this massive flood of illegal immigrants across the border, and we're giving them phones. We're paying for hotel rooms. We're giving them stipends. We're buying them food. And we just keep flooding them in and flooding them in. And what we're doing is two things that appear on the Cloward-Piven plan, which we've talked about previously in this show several times. We're increasing the number of people in this country that are dependent upon the government for income, right? We're increasing that. So we're increasing the government. At the same time, we're overwhelming the economy. So we're overwhelming the economy. We're increasing government dependence. We are on track to collapse our economy while increasing government dependence, which has been used before, and it's a part of the step-by-step playbook of how to basically convert an otherwise free nation to a dictatorship where the government steps in and controls the purse strings of every individual by collapsing the collective economy and saying, okay, we have a solution, everybody. All you got to do is convert to this central bank digital currency and do everything we ask of you, or you'll starve to death. Welcome to America. With that, I'll pass the torch to Kim.
All right. Well, Kim, I'm gonna unleash. Oh, she unleashed it.
Oh, I have control. Hello, everyone. How is everyone tonight?
We're good. It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. Well, another couple weeks and things will calm down for me. I've got a couple big projects that I'm working on right now. A couple things I wanted to talk on immigration. Between July 1st, 2021 and June 30th, 2022, almost 50,000 Canadians left Canada and immigrated elsewhere, which is, I'm sure it's probably a hell of a lot more in the last year. I hear all the time, even personal friends, whatever, everyone's looking to move. It's absolutely...
By the way, I don't want to interrupt you, but Kim is from Canada, everybody, and I follow along very closely with politics up in Canada also, and I have for the last couple of years. And if you're not aware of what's going on in Canada, we may just have an episode where we'll dedicate the whole episode of the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show to politics involving Canada with Pierre Poilievre and Justin Trudeau and everything that's going on up there, investigations that were denied involving the Chinese election interference. It'd blow your fucking mind, honestly. But I'm sorry, Kim, you go ahead.
Oh, no, it's just crazy. It's crazy to me, like, listening to you guys talk about the borders. And as you know, I spent a lot of time in the States a couple of years ago, back and forth all the time. But it's absolutely crazy to me that people are just up and just leaving. We're out. We're done. We're not going to live this way anymore. And we have another increase in our taxes coming July 1st. Another increase in our carbon tax. I haven't actually delved into how much that's going to cost each household, but it's absolutely, they're increasing everything. They're putting measures in place, trying to put measures in place. Like, I think they said by 2035, they wanted everyone to be in electric vehicles. Well, where I live, it gets to minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit in the winter, and I'm sure you guys all know batteries don't last very long. Electric vehicles, and I live in farmland, we all have trucks for reasons. We have to haul things. We have animals that we have to, you know, bring in supplies for. Electric vehicles are just not going to cut it. And, I mean, it takes me 2.5 hours to get to a city. Excuse my dog drinking in the background. That's not Daryl, folks. That's like my dog. Daryl finished his coffee already. But it's absolutely, they are taxing us to death. We're dealing with a bunch of wildfires up here. I just actually had someone message me while I was listening to the show saying, what is going on up there with all the wildfires? And they've actually arrested a lot of people that were starting fires on purpose. I don't know. A lot of people say conspiracy theory, that they're trying to burn people out of the rural areas to make them all come into the cities. So the government has better control over us. Do I think that's
that's actually, what they did in Washington State and Oregon. They caught Antifa members doing the same thing, last year, year before. And for the audience, not to interrupt Kim again, I just want to mention one thing. Yep. Research 15-minute cities. You'll understand what Kim is talking about right here. So go ahead, Kim.
It's absolutely crazy. So, I mean, there's a lot going up here on here. Like, I think we'd need probably 10 shows to cover everything. It's absolutely, it's crazy. I get people from all over the world calling me all the time going, I heard this. Is that true? Yep, it's true. They just can't believe what is going on. And Canada used to be such a free-loving, very diverse culture, place to live. Everyone sought to live here. And I think we've really fallen in the rankings. And then we were talking about, you know, the Canada is made up of 69.8% of Caucasian people, and the rest is the minorities, Asians, Indigenous. We have a huge Indigenous population, Chinese, Black, sent in Canada. It's very interesting, the differences between the two countries, but yeah, wild times we live in. Absolutely wild times. But yeah, we should do a show on Canada because it's pretty crazy up here.
Well, let me know, Kim.
Actually, we have Chris Barber and Tamara Leach. Their trial starts on, let me just look so I don't say it. I think it's September 5th, and their trial, so most murder trials are done, like, you know, within a week, whatever. They have these guys booked for over a month for their trial.
Yeah, and we all know what's going to happen. They're going to be politically persecuted.
Well, they have to make examples. I mean, this is one of the things. Like, they've been starting to charge people after a year and a half. They just charged a fellow by the name of Harold Yonkers after a year and a half, father of seven, for being at the protest.
Yeah,
it's absolutely,
I pay close attention to that, and I'm actually friends with Tamara Leach and Chris Barber. Chris has been on our show. They're good people, ladies and gentlemen. The mainstream media has made them out to be some kind of monster. They're just people like you and me and everybody else that wants their best life without government interference, without the government telling them what they can and can't do. That's all they ever wanted. That's all they ever wanted. They didn't want to be violent. They didn't want to overthrow the government. They just wanted to be left alone. And now they're being persecuted. So it was good to hear your voice on the radio show. I'm sorry, Kim. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we have extreme government overreach here. And Chris Barber, I work very closely with Chris Barber, and I run his merch store for his trucking company. He is probably one of the most authentic human beings you'll ever meet, the nicest guy possible. He is not a terrorist, as they try to make him out to be, and I would love to have anyone try to tell me otherwise, because he is a very close personal friend of mine, and no, they are going to make examples out of them and do their damnedest to make charges stick, which, you know, we'll see. But no,
yeah,
thank you.
And that's what liberal governments have done, not only in Canada, but here in the United States, all over the world. Anybody that stood up for freedom, it's absolutely mind-blowing, sad, frustrating, anger, every feeling that you think you can feel, I have felt and still feel to this day. I get more angry every day because nobody seems to be doing a damn thing about it. Elected representatives are no longer elected representatives. They're bought and paid for by your lobbyist groups and big corporations in both countries and all over the world. The WEF, the World Economic Forum, has inserted their stooges and their puppets in every single government, in every country, Australia, New Zealand, Germany, Canada, America, Venezuela. The CIA has been involved in a lot of this, and I try to tell people this, and they look at me like I'm a fucking nut job. Ladies and gentlemen, I've done my due diligence. I've dug into this stuff. I'm not as crazy as I know it sounds crazy. You would never expect this out of a guy like me, especially a guy like me, who comes from a small town in Minnesota, has 12,000 people. You think, what the fuck? Quit watching TV. I haven't watched TV for 2.5 years, ladies and gentlemen. Mainstream media? Nope, not on my menu. I refuse to watch mainstream media, as a matter of fact. I'll catch, little bits and pieces of it here and there, just to see what's going on. But I refuse to focus any of my attention on mainstream media, because mainstream media is nothing but the machine that is lying to you with the propaganda and the gaslighting and all that bullshit. They feed you the narrative. They get you to feel a certain way. And then you react on social media and you attack everybody that goes against what they told you to feel. And that's what's happening. It's a
division.
Sad, sad state of affairs. Yeah, absolutely
they're,
they are. And this is exactly what they wanted.
Yep, they want the fight. But you have to admit, though, I think over the past year, a lot more people are starting to wake up and starting to realize that we aren't all so crazy.
No, yeah, I agree with that. But we're at the point now, though, of just waking up is not going to be enough. We need to start standing up. And honestly, the Freedom Convoy in Canada awakened a lot of our eyes, even though a lot of us felt like that down here in the States. When I seen that pop off, I started getting involved on every Facebook group I could involving. And that's how I got involved with the Freedom Convoy up there and got to know Tamara Leach and got to know Rooster and got to know Chris Barber and Pat King, just knowing who those people were. I don't care what you feel about them now, what your opinion is about any one of them now. I know who the good ones are. I know who the good people are. And that's how I got in touch with Kim. And numerous other people up there I'd no longer talk to either, because they turned out to be, people that were just trying to capitalize off the Freedom Convoy. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm not out here to capitalize off of anything. I'm out here to stand up for my for future generations, not just in America, not just in Canada, but for the world, because I know what's going on in the world, and it's not good. And I know this sounds crazy to a lot of you because you haven't done the research that I have done or many of us have done, but the whole world is corrupt by certain groups of people, well, a certain group of people, but they're all interconnected. But that's for another show. Kim, thank you so much for coming on and talking tonight. It was great to hear your voice on the show itself. You let me know in the next couple of weeks when you've got more time that you can get involved. We would love to have you get involved more in the conversations when you have the time. So thank you for that. And my final thoughts, ladies and gentlemen, is there's so much going on that it's hard to keep track of all of it. Honestly, there's a lot of days that I just have to shut everything off and just clear my head, and I pray. I do a lot of praying, man, because I need it. The things that you don't hear are the things that I worry about on a daily basis, on a minute-to-minute basis. All I'm asking you is quit watching mainstream media. They're lying to you. Every single last one of them. Fox, CNN, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, all of them. You have to observe, and you have to do your own due diligence. And that's all there is to it. Other than that, we've got a problem at the southern border. We have a nuclear threat. The CBDC, the Central Banking Digital Currency, is coming out. They're going to roll that out in July, which makes me feel like they're going to do a false flag attack or event here in the near future to make an excuse to roll that out to try to convince you that you're going to be safer and you're going to be more secure by having CBDC. Possibly a major banking collapse with all the banks involved. I've been hearing through the grapevine that you should take out all the cash that you can afford to take out of the banks to keep on hand, stock up on food and water anywhere for a period of 1 week and 3 months. That's just things I've heard. I'm not telling you that that's what you should do. I'm just throwing that warning out there. You could take it for what it is. You don't have to listen to me, but if something goes down like a cyber attack or some kind of a false flag major event where they shut communications down for a week or two or three, you have to ask yourself a question. What are you going to do? And the second question you need to ask yourself, how the fuck did we get here? And we've talked about that numerous times on this show. How did we get to this point as a country that we're scared of our own government? So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end this episode. Episode number 79 of the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, uncensored, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central with my co-host Chris Bikerson and that black guy from Colorado. What's oh, yeah, Daryl. Yeah, Daryl. No. With my co-host Chris Bikerson and Daryl and Kim from Canada, we have a very diverse group of people on here to talk freely to you, uncensored, of course, and we love each and every one of you. Share us out to your friends. Let them know. Let them know about this radio program, because you're going to get a lot of stuff out of this radio program. I know we go over 2 hours sometimes, and I want to cut it short now because we're 10 minutes over. Even though we have 3 hours allotted, but we got to try to keep it short. But anyway, you guys all have a great night. God bless each and every one of you, and we'll see you all next Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central. Just a city boy, born and raised.
Women.